Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach Trip Lanier.
Admit it, wouldn't you love to change something about your girl that just drives you nuts? Why do you seem to get stuck in a pattern regardless of who you're with? And do you find yourself saying, yes, dear, in order to avoid a blowout? This week, we're talking with Lisa Oz about changing your girl and why your partner is designed to push every single one of your buttons. Welcome to The New Man. Today we're talking with Lisa Oz. She's the author of the new book, Us, Transforming Yourself and the Relationships That Matter Most. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, I read a lot of tabloids and stuff, and is it true that you're romantically linked to this Dr. Oz guy?
It is. That is a true one.
You guys have been seen around town and, you know, just want to make sure that everything's up front and we're clear here.
Yep.
So.
Yep, we're out in the open about it. Nothing hidden anymore. For the last 27 years we've been together.
Wow. That's congratulations. That's great. There's so much in this book that you've got, and there is such a great emphasis on transforming yourself and in the context of relationships. When we hear the term relationship, I think most guys jump to the image of me with someone else, but so much of your book is really about developing yourself and developing your relationship to yourself. I mean, why would a guy want to develop his relationship to himself?
Well, mostly because you are a part of every single one of your relationships. There's a common thread, and you take yourself to each one of those relationships. You know, I have friends who are girls, obviously, but go from one relationship to the next and keep falling into the same patterns. Mm. And from the outside, it's like, duh, you're the same person. You're going to be acting the same way. It's not really a mystery that the guys you're going to be attracted to are going to fall into the same pattern. So if you're interested in improving your relationships, whether you're a guy or a girl, the one thing you can do to actually make a difference is work on yourself.
I love that, because so many people are like, oh, there's just no good people in this town. All the good men are gone. There seems like there's just tons of excuses and blaming, but you're right. You are the one common denominator in all of your relationships. So if they're not going the way you want, you got to take a look at yourself.
Right. Okay. Right. And also that's the only thing you can shift. You can't change the person you're with. That's their job. So if you want a better relationship, start working on yourself.
You know, my grandmother recently passed away, and I was talking to her like just 2 weeks before she passed away. And she was like, you know, I think I'm going to quit trying to change your grandfather. And they've been married. Yeah, they've been married for like 60 years. And she was just turning the corner. Like, I'm going to quit trying to make him somebody he's not.
It takes some of us a really long time to figure it out. But you know, she got it. She finally realized it, right?
She did, a little late, you know, towards the end of the game, right? But I get emails from guys who are like listening to this show and they're making efforts to make their lives better. But they start to see their partner now is like, well, wait, she needs to change. You know, she needs to change who she is. And they're sending me emails like, how can I get my partner to change? It seems like the wrong question to ask. I mean, why is it futile to try and change our partner?
Well, just because it's not going to happen. Number one, I mean, you can delude yourself and try all you want, and years later you'll be frustrated and realize, like your grandmother did, that it's not going to happen. but I think what does happen is that when you work on changing yourself, the relationship necessarily changes. So it's not like this is a manipulation tool. You know, if I do something different, then they'll do what I want them to do. They may respond in a totally unpredictable way, but they will behave differently than before. That's like a girl example. You know, your husband never takes the garbage out. And you yell at him and you yell at him, and then you try bribing him and coaxing him and cajoling him and leaving him little notes and whatever kind of manipulative tool you want. And you realize it's not going to happen. If you want the garbage taken out, start taking it out yourself. They will notice, and they will act differently. They may not take the garbage out themselves predictably in the future, but they may actually shift just the way they approach housework and the way that they feel more of a participatory, or maybe not. But it won't be the same relationship, because when one of the partners shifts, the relationship itself shifts.
It's like a numerical equation. If you switch some of the variables around, you're going to get a different end result. So if you want to make the change, you can control. I think what I'm getting from you is like, you can only really control what you do, but that ultimately will change the end product, right?
Right. But not in a way, not necessarily in the way you want them to change, but the relationship is different. So you can't do something in order to get them to do something else. It's not like that, but because you are a factor in the relationship, when you change, when you grow, when you develop as an individual, the relationship itself changes.
And it also seems like you're either going to continue to tolerate something, or it won't be tolerated anymore. And that in and of itself that'll transform the relationship. Just like, I'm no longer going to tolerate the garbage staying here for days on end. Something's going to shift.
Right. Well, the other thing is, relationships are organic, growing, living things themselves. They aren't static. Your relationship with your wife today is not the relationship it was a year ago or 6 months ago, or probably even yesterday. So, and the same goes with your relationship with your parents, your relationship with your boss. Your relationships are always in flux. So it's something that we actually have impact on, given our choices at any given moment.
It also seems like if I'm in a relationship, I need to be clear about what it is that I want, instead of just being reactive and just kind of like, well, whatever you want, or this is just the way things are. I need to hone my own voice.
Right. Absolutely. Right. You actually don't want to be simply reactive to what's outside of you, because then you really have no freedom. Then you're completely at the mercy of your environment and what other people are doing and how they push your buttons. You really do want to act from a place of conscious choice, and that's not being reactive.
And I can just imagine, for so many people out there, they're trying to avoid conflict with their partner. They want to keep everything just kind of even keel at home. But if I start to get clear about what it is that I want in my relationship, and I'm going to start speaking that, and I'm just taking care of me, that may rock the boat. How can conflict, can it be beneficial to the relationship?
Well, I think so. I think that conflict doesn't have to be a bad thing. Conflict is just when we have differing views or differing objectives. And I do think that conflict can instigate growth, which is always a good thing. There are a couple of things that we ideally would want to keep in mind when approaching conflict. And the first, for me, especially when we're talking about a romantic relationship or any kind of familial relationship, is that you can get angry and have disagreements, but that doesn't mean you have to be unkind. And I think we forget that, especially when we've been with people for a long time, whether it's our siblings or our parents or our spouses or our children, we lose civility. And we think that if we're upset by something, we can just respond in a way that we wouldn't respond to a stranger. So I think that maintaining consideration, even through conflict, is key in keeping relationships healthy.
That is huge. It seems like the assumption is, if we don't agree, then it's going to be a brawl.
And I'm going right. to like, don't, I'm not going to see you as somebody I love anymore. I'm just going to attack you and lose civility. But we can agree to disagree. Is that's kind of what I hear you say.
Yes. What I found though also is that many relationships after a certain period of time enter this dead zone where you really feel almost nothing, and conflict actually becomes a way, in a perverse sort of sense, of connecting, because even feeling pain is better than feeling nothing. So I think we need to be careful in our relationships where we see that we have relationships that are in a bad state, where we maybe push each other's buttons more than we need to, where we instigate conflict, where we know what triggers are and we find ourselves falling into certain patterns. I think we need to watch out for that. And are we going for negative attention rather than no attention? Because it's preferable to no attention at all.
Yeah. And this is, I think this is the, where we could start the conversation around polarity. I mean, ultimately I want to have a polar zest. I want to have that kind of friction. And again, it doesn't need to be where we're fighting a lot, but there, I do want to actually feel my partner when she walks in the room. He's like, oh, what is this? And you're saying that conflict or disagreements, even if they can stay civil, but we can have differing opposing positions on things, and that can be helpful. That's better than being just flat and everything's hunky-dory all the time.
Well, my theory is that, based on Harville Hendrix's work, is this idea that the person that you seek out is a person who is uniquely designed to press all your buttons, and that you're actually attracted to your partner, not just for their good qualities, and not, you know, just because they're so totally hot and you're physically attracted to them. It's because of the qualities that drive you absolutely nuts, and those things that bring up issues from your childhood. Now, what he talks about is getting the love you need from that person. My theory is that you never actually can make them give you the love you need, but that by working with these people who never actually cannot be manipulated or forced into giving you the love you need, but will work with you, even just by pushing all your buttons, to grow yourself. And part of that conflict and part of that dynamic back and forth and the polarity you talk about is what pushes us to grow and change as individuals. Because if everything were just hunky-dory and static, we would stay exactly where we are, and then we'd never evolve.
That's true. How does the guy then kind of discern whether he's just in a really, really crappy relationship that's constantly pushing his buttons, or if he's in one that's really serving him to grow?
Well, you know, you kind of, again, you have to go back to looking at yourself. I mean, is it a relationship where you are conscious, where you are being pushed in a direction that's uncomfortable, but that is a better version of you? Are you going to a place where you're a worse person, where you're more selfish, more materialistic, less honest? You look at the qualities, is it forcing you to be more open, allowing yourself to be more vulnerable, even if it's not comfortable, more honest and direct, more open with your communication? And it may be your fault, not the other person's, but I think that even in difficult relationships, we can approach them, as long as it's something that we choose consciously, from a place of growth. And I know I've been using that word a lot, but that's what I think it's all about, really. I think that's the purpose of real relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, when I think about it, there's guys that I know, friends and women, that when they kind of bring their new love over to the house or something, and I'd notice if my friend is, are they more muted? Or are they more alive? Are they, you know, do I see something new in them? Am I more excited by them? Or do they kind of just seem to go away and disappear? It's great to just, I love that. Like, are they more of themselves with this person? Does this relationship foster more of them being in the world, more growth, and a better version of them as well?
Right.
There's so many guys in the show interested about personal growth and transformation, but they may be looking at it as a part that's separate from their relationships or their work in the world. Like, oh, I go on this retreat and I do this, and then I come back to my work, or I go do this thing over here, and then I come back to my family. But one thing that I got from reading your book is that relationship is the vessel for growth and transformation. And I love that, and I truly believe that, but I think a lot of guys just don't get that. Would you agree?
I think it's harder for guys. It's a more difficult place to go to. Men, I think, compartmentalize their relationships. You know, they have their work relationship, they have their sexual relationships, they have their guy friends relationships. And I think guys have a harder time getting to intimacy. Women, you know, you sit down, you start chatting right away, and you're like telling them your darkest secrets. It's crazy the way women look for connection.
Yeah.
And guys will sit there and watch a football game and think they've actually spent time together. It's so funny.
Right.
But it's just a different way of relating. But if you, my feeling is that we are in relationship, which is a state, not necessarily a thing. It's one of the things I talk about in the book. But at every minute, with every person we come in contact with, and every person that we don't come in contact with through this, you know, sort of butterfly effect, and that we have no idea what the ripple impact of our choices is going to be across the world. I had I've talked to a guy a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about being in Papua New Guinea and seeing a little kid where these people have no money at all, and seeing a little kid wearing a Lakers t-shirt. Hmm. So, you know, some kid in LA threw that away, and it ends up in Papua New Guinea. A smile that you give to a toll collector at 7 o'clock in the morning could change the direction of his day and everyone on the line, you know, for the rest of the day. You have no idea what, how far reaching your interactions are energetically.
Yeah.
So, I do think we live in relationships that can either be positive and opportunities for growth, or can, you know, be not so positive, and with every person we come in contact with, whether it's the toll collector or our boss or our spouse or our kid. I think every interaction is an opportunity to live in relationship.
That's such a great perspective, instead, because so many people are going through the day, well, is this person got something for me? And if they do, then I'll pay attention to them, or I'll talk to them, or I'll be nice to them. Otherwise, I'm just going to ignore them. And but you're saying that we just recognize that we have this impact, and we can be impacted by anyone and everyone around us. It makes life just feel so much more rich.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. So what, you've got so many tips and so many practices in the book, but what's one thing? What's just one thing that the listener can start to do today that's going to really improve his life?
Well, one of my favorite practices is what I call non-judgmental self-observation, which is just the practice, and you don't have to do it constantly. It's kind of hard to do it all the time, but even just for a few minutes a day, just observe yourself without being engaged in the activity. So watch from a distance. Don't judge what your response is. Don't label it as good or bad. Just watch it. It's sort of the way that when you're in traffic and a car cuts you off, you get angry. You feel like they personally, you know, insulted you. You yell at them. Your blood pressure rises. But if they swerved into the lane next to you and cut off the car on the other side, you would just go, man, that's a bad driver, and you'd have no emotional response. Hmm. So what you want to do is develop that same impersonal response to your own activities and your own interactions, just momentarily. So, and watch. And once you can do this, you start to detach from your habitual reactive, reflexive responses, and you no longer identify with them. And you see that who you are is who your real self is something different from that habitual reactive response. And you can disengage. When you can do that, and you no longer have to defend your opinions, your responses, your attitudes, then you can start to change a little more easily.
And you're not saying to become a zombie. You're not saying to to lose passion. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, because really what it's about is about having choice. Because when you're in reaction, you have no freedom. You are at the whim and mercy of whatever happens to you at that moment. So again, if someone cuts you off in traffic, you can't choose whether to be happy at that moment, because you're completely enslaved by your emotional response. What I'm talking about is having the freedom to choose your emotional response no matter what's going on around you. See, I think that's real freedom.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not being hijacked by these impulses. I can recognize them when they arise and have some choice around it. Oh, there it is. That's the part of me that wants to grab my shotgun and blow this guy away because he just cut me off, which, you know, is a good, you want to take that choice. Yeah. And then, but, you know, here I had got some choice. It doesn't mean that I don't feel passion. It doesn't mean that I don't feel things. I'm just not hijacked by them.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Here are the big takeaways from this chat. Number one, does it seem like all of your relationships spiral into the same basic pattern or result? Guess what? It's because of you. You're the common denominator in all of your relationships. Developing a relationship with yourself is key if you want your other relationships to prosper. If you find yourself repeating a pattern, quit blaming the women of the world and take a look in the mirror. Get to know yourself and your relationships will prosper. Number two. Unfortunately, Lisa says we can't change our partners. Some of you may not be willing to throw in the towel just yet, but one thing you can do is focus on what you're doing. If you want to change your relationship, change yourself and your behavior. When one person in the relationship shifts, the relationship shifts. The shift may not be the change you want, but it will mix things up. Now, you can't do it from a place of manipulation either. Like, if I do this, then she'll have to do that. No, no, no. Your actions need to be in alignment with who you are and what you want. Watch out for shifting your behavior in hopes that your girl will change too. Number three, many guys get into a relationship and go into autopilot. How many times do you say, whatever you want, babe? If you want to keep the train on the tracks, you gotta show up. You gotta stay aware of what you want and speak up about it. Number four, are you pulling the yes dear line in order to avoid a conflict? Again, don't fall for this antiquated relationship advice. Stuffing what you want doesn't make a relationship any better. It builds resentment. Lisa points out that conflict can be heated and angry, but it doesn't have to be ugly. The end game isn't to avoid disagreements. That passion is a good thing. Welcome a heated exchange of ideas, but don't lose civility. Don't be unkind. Don't say things to your partner that you wouldn't say to a stranger. Conflict may instigate growth, and that's a good thing. Get hot and stay considerate. And then, you know, have makeup sex. All right, number five. Here's some good news. The person you choose to be your partner is basically designed to push your buttons. Nice, huh? There's no utopia. So you can get pissed or you can see the opportunity to grow. Number six, but how do you know when to walk away from a relationship? It's common for personal growth geeks to stay in a relationship that is pure hell, all because they see it as a growth opportunity. But let's get real here. Ask yourself and ask your buddies if you've got the beans, if you're a better, stronger man when your girl is in the picture. Are you more open, caring, and trustworthy? Are you pursuing your passion? Does she support this? Or are you smaller, weaker, and less trustworthy when you're in this relationship? Are you too busy bitching about her to pursue what lights you up the most? Is your relationship a project to be finished? Again, ask your buddies for the straight dope. You may not be able to see this for yourself, but they do. They know if you're a better man in or out of this relationship. Use this feedback to make a more informed decision for yourself. And number seven, Lisa recommends practicing non-judgmental self-observation. This is just a fancy way of saying mindfulness. Most of our actions are on autopilot, and when we make mistakes, we're generally cleaning up the stuff we did while sleepwalking. With non-judgmental self-observation, take a few minutes per day to just watch how you do things. Watch how you interact with your partner, how you drive in heavy traffic. Get to know your patterns. Imagine you're watching a movie about life. Don't get sucked into the plot. Just watch and don't judge. Whatever happens is just what happens. The more you can widen the gap between a stimulus and your unconscious reaction, the more you'll be able to bring choice into play. The ability to choose your reactions fosters true freedom, and you'll be less likely to be hijacked by the terrorists in your mind. Tell us where we can get your book and learn more about you and the work that you're doing.
Well, you can get my book everywhere. it'll be at a bookstore near you and on Amazon, my favorite website. I'm on Twitter at Lisa Jane Oz. That's about it.
Okay. Excellent. No worries. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to the guys today. I really appreciate your insights, and I just appreciate how much great stuff, useful stuff you put into this book. It's very accessible. And for the guys out there, it's also kind of getting a peek behind the curtain of how women talk to one another. It was very revealing for me. I think most of the authors I read are typically men. So it was great to have this feminine, very zesty, very fiery perspective on things. So thank you, Lisa.
Thank you so much.
Visit thenewmanpodcast.com and subscribe to The New Man Minute. It's a series of short, free videos featuring the best tips and info from the podcast. You can sign up now at thenewmanpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.